The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to Monday. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Tim Tebow. Have you heard of Tim Tebow? Evidently, he's some kind of athlete. I've never heard of him, but he's going to be on this program. He's such an amazing young man, I have to tell you. You'll see in the interview. We'll talk about what he's doing. But that's hour one. Hour two, I think we have John Zmirak, who is not famous as an athlete, but that doesn't mean that he's not a famous athlete in private circles. Alvin, we've all seen him.
He's intellectually athletic.
Well, we're going to talk to John Zmirak about what's going on in the country. Speaking of which, Chris Himes and Alvin, you guys are aware. I have to talk about this. This is stunning, stunning, stunning. We have been locked out of YouTube for 7 days. Why? Chris, tell us what YouTube has said. Is it that we offended someone because we posted pornography or snuff videos? What did we put on there that violated the community standards?
I believe they were offended by you did a 2-hour marathon video of whack-a-mole, and they said it was animal cruelty, even though the moles were not real and they kept coming back up. Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, we have to joke about this, but it's so sick. Folks, I just want to say we're living in the United States of America. I've been locked out of Twitter for 7 days. This is absolutely extraordinary. If you told me a few years ago that this would be happening, I would say like, oh, please don't tell me that. Like, that's so sick. This is America, the land of the free.
Well, America.
Yeah. If people are not fighting this, I just want to say a lot of people think, well, I'm not in this battle. Oh, you're in the battle because whatever you say and do matters. You have a voice. If you don't speak the truth, and I'm not talking about being a jerk about it, but you have to speak the truth. Now, if you are some kind of Christian, upholding what the Bible says about sexuality, about the murder of the unborn, these are the kinds of things that, you know, it may not get you friends in the mainstream. I don't think they're going to have me on the Tonight Show to discuss this stuff, but I do think that we have an obligation, particularly when people are trying to shut us down. I've obviously written about this in my book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The Bonhoeffer story, when I wrote it, I said I could see this happening. In other words, anybody who thinks that, oh, in America, this couldn't happen, I would just say, why? Just like the people here. It was not a dramatically different culture. They allowed silencing to occur. Now, it was different. They didn't have social media, but it was the same concept where people were afraid to speak out because there was a price. If you said, I don't think the Jews are evil, I don't think the Jews are Germany's problem, you would pay a price. Now, the fact is that that's what God would have wanted the Germans to do at the time, but they didn't. They said, no, I want to keep my job. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to lose social capital. And so here we are now. The reason we're locked out of YouTube, Chris, tell our audience what they've won. Tell our audience why, because you're our YouTube guy mainly. And what did YouTube say? In other words, what did we post?
Yeah. So it's basically a little bit like baseball. You get three strikes, you know, so you get a warning. The first video that we posted that they flagged as a warning was the Mike Lindell appearance. So, I mean, I felt like that was a news story.
Is it because of the profanity?
No,
or the violence.
I think it was all the down-topped comfort that he brought to the show. They found offensive.
Yeah, well, it's because of the cardboard cutout behind me, and Eric has removed his. So I don't know.
No.
Oh, I mean, you know, Mike set the Twitter sphere on fire on like that Friday because he went to the White House and had some information that, you know, he thought was important to share. And we have him on the show to find out what the story was. And I guess they were offended by that.
But this is kind of what I'm saying is that we have 200,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. We have been on there, you know, making some revenue. We've been, you know, it's a business, obviously, right? Well, YouTube, I want to say this because it's interesting that Twitter has locked me out personally, and for 7 days, and YouTube has locked us out for 7 days. That's the Eric Metaxas Show channel. And I want to bring this up because it's so fascinating that they have deemed what we say on this program. It goes out over the airwaves, 300 outlets across America. You know, nobody has ever contacted us and said, hey, you can't say that. That is foul. That is racist. That is bigoted. That is evil. That is obviously we would never say anything like that. This is just a program. It's a public program that we do for families. In other words, I'm not speaking to some late night dark crowd, you know, everything we say is, you know, opinions, different people and stuff. But YouTube and Twitter have determined that what we say here is so offensive that they have to lock us out. And so I'm just in part wanting to tell those who are listening, we're in a war here for the soul of America, because when you have gigantic tech corporations doing this kind of thing, folks, the founders did not foresee this kind of power. And we, the people, have to speak out. I mean, if you think that there was fraud in the election, hey, here's the problem. There was fraud in the election. We're only wondering how much and what are the details and whether anybody should go to jail. But of course there was fraud. There was every kind of fraud practically. So the idea that the American people would demand transparency, would demand justice, this is the most healthy and American thing you could ever hope for. And so the powers that be, the folks at YouTube, obviously that's Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey at Twitter, they really believe, and you've got to understand this because it's always more complicated, right? We just want to demonize them and say they're jugheads. They certainly are, but there's more to the story. The fact is they somehow believe they're preserving order. Like imagine that they would allow extraordinary filth and horror to be to go through those channels for years and years. They've made tons of money on radical Islamicist videos. I mean, every kind of bomb making videos. And they determined that my having a conversation with the founder and CEO of MyPillow is really scary. So I just want to say that's where we are in America. So we actually need your help. Part of the reason I want to bring this up is to say that you've got a voice here. When people are demonized, as Mike Lindell has been, as this program has been to some extent, you need to support them. So Mike Lindell, I always say to people, for the love of Pete, don't ever shop at Kohl's or at Bed Bath & Beyond or at HEB or at any of these places that have done this, because they are really, I mean, you want to talk about what's dangerous and what's degrading. It's when people out of fear do the wrong thing and silence truth. And so that's what these companies have. They've made a decision. They need to pay for that decision. They need to understand that in America, you're going to lose if you do that. So I hope you understand that. And I hope you will go to mypillow.com or mystore.com and help support Mike Lindell's business by buying the very high quality products that are there at mystore.com. You can get most of my books and obviously use the code Eric. That helps this radio program before they shut us down. We need your help. So I just wanted to say that because it is absolutely amazing to me that we would be in a place in America where saying what we think, having a rational, open conversation, joking. I mean, whatever we do on this program, they've decided, no, you are you're bad and we're going to shut it down. You know, you put any more of this kiddie porn on and we're going to ban you forever. So can you imagine? This is where we are. So I wanted to say that, because if you're not helping fight against this, you become part of the problem. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. You have a voice, you have a responsibility. When we come back, totally different conversation. I'm talking to the amazing, the wonderful Tim Tebow. Folks, we'll be right back. Welcome to the Erickman Taxes Show. I try to get big name guests, and a lot of times I just don't pull it off. And I'm sorry to say today is one of those days. We've got a guy, I think it's Tim or Timothy Tebow. He's got a book out. And you know what? I don't book these people, but whoever you are, Timothy Tebow, am I getting that right? Am I pronouncing it correct?
Yeah, that's good enough. I can go by that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
People tell me you're some kind of an athlete. People tell me you're some kind of an athlete. Is that also true?
You know
what, Tim? There are people listening to this now who don't realize I'm joking. And I even realized that I always do that. I always joke around. But there are people like, what is wrong with Eric? What an idiot. Doesn't he know? Folks, I was kidding. This is Tim Tebow. Tim, I am thrilled, my friend. My brother, to have you on. And I'm thrilled for several reasons. Number one, we're not going to talk about politics unless you insist.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
You're okay?
We can just
continue. Okay.
Yeah. I'm all
right. That blesses me, because I'm getting a rash from talking about that unpleasant subject. So I want to I'm using some creams and things, and the doctor says it's better just not to talk about politics. So thank you for that. Number one. Number two, a little birdie told me you got married a year ago. Happy anniversary almost. Can this be true, my friend? Am I talking to somebody who's been married for almost a year?
No, Eric, for a year and one day. It was our anniversary yesterday.
Oh, yes. Yesterday. Well, this has been an hour later, so it's... All right, listen, buddy, I tried to tell you marriage is tough, but it's just the first 20 years. After that, it's smooth sailing. My wife and I haven't had an argument since, I don't even, like last night, I think. No, actually this morning. But honestly, it is, I have to joke around because I am so happy. I'm glad the Lord provided you with a helpmeet, because I was racking my brains of all these wonderful women I know. And the fact that you're married now, I don't have to think about it anymore. You're settled. I want you to just, you know, get a good job and everything will be fine.
Perfect. Hey, I'm working forward to that. But I got to tell you, you know, people ask me all the time. They say, Timmy, what is it like being married, you know, in quarantine? And I'm like, well, to be honest, I don't know what it's like to be married not in quarantine. And so that's all we got to go on right now. So, yeah, hey, it's like a full honeymoon. You find the silver linings and the blessings and everything, Eric, you know?
There's so many people like me that they love you. They've practically watched you grow up, and we're proud of you. Congratulations to you and your extremely lovely wife. I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk to you about Night to Shine, which we've talked about before. And I want to talk to you about your newest venture, a book which is right behind you called A Party to Remember, not to be confused with the film about the Titanic, A Night to Remember. This is a positive book, A Party to Remember. Tim Tebow, like, you know, you're one of those people, I think you annoy people because you do too much too well. It's like, oh yeah, you do football really well. Now you're going to do baseball. Then you're going to do Night to Shine stuff. And now you're writing a children's book. Where'd you get the idea to write this children's book?
Eric, I got to be honest, probably from when I was a child, I just realized how much it impacted me. You know, my parents would read to me, especially my mom, before I'd go to sleep. And you realize what an impact some of those books can have on you, because it's the last thing you read before you go to sleep. And I'd say for probably the last 2 to 3 years, it's really been on my heart, where I've wanted to write a children's book because I feel like there's just so much that is getting thrown at the young people in our world today. And there's so many different things. And I wanted to write something that would be encouraging and inspiring, and also put truth nuggets in there of things that they can hold on to. And so, you know, this book, it's about a lot of great things and teamwork and purpose and meaning and significance. But more than anything, it is about that you are created in love, by love, and for love, that God has a great plan for your life, that you are unique, you are special, you are one of one, and you were created wonderful. Because literally the last three lines on the last page of the book, it's you are unique, you are special, you are wonderful. Because I want every single boy or girl that reads this book or has this book read to them, when they go to sleep, the last thing that they think about is you are unique, you are special, you are wonderful. And I want them to think about that, to dream about that, to pray about that, and to know that in their life and in their heart, that their creator of this universe did not make a mistake on them. With their strengths or weaknesses, their abilities, disabilities, that they were created perfect by a perfect creator who made them the way they are, that they are one of one. They are specifically designed. Out of all the people on this earth, they were designed that way for a reason, and they are special that way, and they are wonderful. Every single one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, even you, Eric, and we get to go to sleep at night remembering that.
Even me? Even
you. Because
even – you know I'm a Trump supporter, right? You sure about this? I don't want to go political. All right, so you're telling me that no matter what, the Lord loves me, and that applies to everybody. It sounds like a children's book that I wrote 20 years ago called God Made You Special for VeggieTales. And I'm going to have lawyers look into this. But it is really – it's a funny message, Tim, isn't it? Because when you think about it, there's a conundrum at the heart of it, right? In other words, the Lord made every one of us in his image, right? So we're a reflection of his glory. He loves every one of us so much that he would die for us. He created the universe for us. And we're living at a time right now, as you know, when there's so many mixed messages out there. So the message of your book, A Party to Remember, ties in with A Night to Shine. So I want to talk about both of those and some other things, but talk a little bit about that. Tell my audience, first of all, because we know they can get your book, A Party to Remember, but tell us about this year's Night to Shine, because obviously with the COVID lunacy, it's not going to be what it is every year. And for people who know nothing about Night to Shine, explain what that is. Sure.
So Night to Shine is a worldwide prom for people with special needs. And this will be year 7 of Night to Shine. And it's always held the Friday before Valentine's Day. So this year will be February 12th. And we've been so fortunate in the last few years to be able to spread to countries, so many countries throughout the world, all 50 states. Last year, we had over 200,000 volunteers and crowned over 100,000 special needs guests as the king or the queen of the prom. And our goal and our dream and our prayer is to take it to every single village and city around the world, because we believe that all the forgotten and looked past and thrown away and belittled people around the world need to know how valuable, how celebrated, how worthy, how special every single one of them are. And so that's what Night to Shine is about. It's a night about worth. It's a night of red carpets, because in our society, red carpet signifies VIP and meaning. And a lot of time it's an actress or an athlete or a celebrity that walks down that. But in our eyes, you are the VIP, because God made you that way. That's why you're walking down red carpets. That's why we are celebrating you, because not only do we view you as VIP, but we believe the God in this universe views you as VIP. That's why we're throwing this. That's how special you are. And so that's a bit of Night to Shine. So this year it has to be a little bit different because of COVID, because we would never put any
But before you go into that, I just want to ask you, because I don't know if I tuned out for a second, but Night to Shine is, how do you say it? Is it like for special needs kids or like how do you phrase that? Who are the kinds of folks that are featured in these events?
All of our kings and queens, yes, would be people with special needs, would be people that others have viewed as different with disabilities. But we believe that God has created all of us with abilities or disabilities, and he'll use all of them. So, yes, it would be all forms of special needs are our kings and queens, and we celebrate every single one of them, which, by the way, is a huge population of our world, and that are forgotten, that are looked past, that are looked beyond. And this was really inspired by an encounter I had when I was a 15-year-old boy, when I met a boy named Sherwin in the jungles of the Philippines, who was born with his feet on backwards, and his village looked at him as cursed, as insignificant, as a throwaway. And so he was literally a throwaway to them. But I knew that day that he wasn't a throwaway to God. And I'm so grateful, because that boy changed my life to really want to inspire me to fight for people that can't fight for themselves. So that's really what this is about, is fighting for people that can't fight for themselves, celebrating people that haven't been celebrated, bringing worth to those that we have looked past and beyond and haven't had that worth shared to them. But we know in God's eyes that they are worthy, that they're valuable, that they're special, and we're going to fight for them.
Isn't it amazing that it comes out of our biblical worldview, right? It's an amazing thing, because there are many people around the world, they don't have this framework. We say, because the God of the Bible says we're each fearfully and wonderfully made, we're made in his image, he loves us. And if you know Jesus personally, you don't believe in this idea that that group is cursed or that person is cursed. So you're sharing the God of the Bible during these beautiful events you do once a year, Night to Shine. We're going to be back to hear more from our friend Tim Tebow. Don't go away. Are you concerned about memory loss for yourself or a loved one? Susan Gibson's mother had dementia. Susan prayed God would show her the solution to memory loss. And after many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan founded Vivalor and created Glory Day Brain Booster. Glory Day is a premium quality, all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won the award for most innovative healthcare regimen in 2020. Visit Vivalor.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Glory Day is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology that leads to memory loss starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. Vivalor is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. At Vivalor.com, enter promo code 20 for 20% off. The makers pray that God's glory rests on every pill. Vivalor.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me, that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Folks, I'm talking to someone. I hope you've heard of him. His name is Tim. I believe it's pronounced Tebow. Hello, Tim Tebow. How are you?
Actually, when I was young, when I would like in T-ball and stuff, I'd step up to the batter's box. Most of the time, yeah, they would be like, and now up to the plate is Tim T Tebow. And so Tebow. It took a while for them to actually get the Tebow part right.
Isn't it terrible that you have to become famous before people pronounce your name correctly? I have to tell you, you can imagine Metaxas is not exactly easy for most people, and spelling it, forget that. But you, you've gotten a tremendous measure of fame in your life. People often use the term notoriety. That's incorrect. Okay. As a Yale English major and a writer, notoriety is a negative thing. Fame, celebrity, whatever people want to call it. You've used it for God's purposes in your life. We were just talking about A Night to Shine. When I first became acquainted with this, Tim, I just got tears in my eyes. It is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. I hope you do these in Greece at some point, because I have family there. And this is showing the love of Jesus in a way that a lot of people, even ostensibly Christian countries like Greece, they don't know this kind of a God. They haven't encountered this sort of thing. So I want to talk to you about what you're going to do this year, because obviously with COVID, you're not doing the standard events that you a year ago, you did a regular event. This year, you can't do it.
Yeah, it looks a little bit different. And, you know, all the things that were getting canceled this year, Eric, I just couldn't cancel Night to Shine. It was just too important, and the lives were just too important. And so our team brainstormed and prayed and worked so hard and thought, okay, how can we find a way to still bring that meaning and that worth and what Night to Shine brings to so many people that need it so desperately? And we got to be able to find a way. And so we went down two paths. And so we have two different ways that we can celebrate people. And one of them is on a shine through, and it's Night to Shine, but it's really Night to Shine drive through. And it's called Shine Through. And it's really a parade version where we keep people safe in their cars, but instead of walking down red carpets, they're driving down red carpets where they still are in a parade where they're getting celebrated and they get to experience it. And there's even stations where they stop and have paparazzi, and there's karaoke and music and live channels that they can tune into from their car and get feedback and back and forth. It's awesome. And then there's also, they get to go home and have virtual, Night to Shine virtual experience that has special guests and 3D animation and tours around the world. And it's super awesome. And it's incredible. And we're so grateful for everybody that's invested to help make that possible. And so we're just so excited about both those avenues and being able to still bring that meaning and that purpose and that worth to every life that so desperately has been forgotten and needs it. And so we're so excited, and we're pumped about doing it. And we're still, you know, it's been cool to still see all the countries around the world and the doors that have been opened that are getting involved in this and wanting this and so grateful. And so, you know, we're trying to get in as many countries as possible.
Do you know if you're in Greece? I'm not aware what countries you're in.
Yeah, we're right now we're in 35. Greece is not one of them, but we want to have it in Greece.
Well, I know you do. If you end up being able to pull that off, I would literally fly to Greece to be a part of that, because the message that you bring, I mean, it's a kind of funny thing, Tim. A lot of people in America, they get this intuitively, because our culture in many ways is culturally Christian, right? Like the idea of caring about your neighbor or caring about the bum on the street, where we should love him, whatever. In most countries in the world, that is the most foreign idea. They don't have a culture that is foundationally Christian. And so even in America, every agnostic and every atheist knows we're supposed to care for the poor. We're supposed to care for the outcast. Everybody has embraced that idea. But I know that a lot of the countries that you go into, they have a very pagan worldview, or maybe a karmic Eastern worldview, that some people are blessed, some people are cursed. That's the way it is. And so by introducing this concept, you're introducing, as I said earlier, the God of Scripture.
That's right. It's changing the narrative. It's changing the narrative. It's asking the question why. And it's also a lot of cultures that believe in honor and shame way more so than we do here in the States. You know, to give you an example, we've had some of our special guests be having been locked up for over a decade, not allowed out of their apartment complexes because their families were so dishonored by the special needs in which they have. But when they found out that there was an event, a huge party that was for their loved one, for their child with special needs, that we were going to be honoring them, that for the first time in over a decade, they would let them out of their apartment and bring them because it brought honor to the family. And that is changing the narrative in places. It's also in countries where they believe that you're born into a certain system, into a caste. And so they will look at that and say, well, you were born in that. And so if I help you, then I'm really disobeying, you know, the gods that put you there. And so we're trying to change the narrative of you know, that. And so when we rally and shoot in Haiti, when we were carrying kids in from all over the country, then you would have some people, you know, think, well, those are the same kids that, you know, that we were sacrificing, you know, that in voodoo that we were, that they're not worthy, but you love them.
Hang on. I want to pick up right there. This is so valuable. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Tim Tebow.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey there, folks. We're talking about some very important things right now. Tim Tebow, man, what you were just sharing, pick up where you were going from there, because we know anybody who's a student of history or who understands the different cultures in the world knows that there are many cultures where if a child is born with a birth defect or something is wrong by our standards, they are thought of as cursed, as you said, as bringing shame. That is typical around the world through history, except where the biblical God is worshiped. And so this Western idea, we've been exporting this idea and to some extent exporting the gospel through when we reach out to groups like this. You mentioned the folks in India, they have a caste system. They actually believe that if I help somebody in the lower caste, that's bad. In other words, if I'm blessed and I use my blessing to help somebody who's not blessed, that's bad. I'm messing with the karma. Whereas we Christians say precisely the opposite. God has blessed me to be a blessing. So you are bringing evangelism through this idea. And you even said that people are thought of as cursed. They would be sacrificed. I mean, it's hard for us in America particularly to wrap our heads around these other worldviews, which are still prevalent around the world.
There's no doubt. But that also brings up an interesting point, Eric, about actually how we use the word karma. We don't even use it in the right context or the right sense of how it's used around the world. But yeah, yes, it is trying to change the narrative around the world. But Eric, I really believe that we've been in so many countries and places where they have been told and taught not to view them. They don't matter. They not have worth. But man, there's something in their conscience, in their soul, that I believe it's that God-given place in their heart and their soul that, man, when they do it, though, and they're around it and they see that they want it and they long for it and they think, man, there's something right about it, Eric. There's something, even though they haven't, you know, they've been told, you know, this isn't what we do. That's a bad, he was born cursed. It's bad. We need to you know, but man, they just sit there and they watch, Eric, and they watch, and they'll watch for hours as we will carry in kids. For hours, Eric, they will stand there and do nothing but watch. And you can see, and we've even had testimonies that will come up and come up to us later that night and say, why do you do that? You do know that they're cursed, right? And they'll say to me, you do know that the more times you touch them, the greater chance of being cursed yourself, right? And I would get to say, but we believe God loves them. And we believe that he has a great plan for them and that they matter to him and they matter to us. And you know, we would love for you to be a part, because we believe that when you build a relationship, that they're going to matter to you. And it's Eric, I think that there's so many times when they get over so much of what they've been taught, but they start listening to that conviction in their heart of whatever God's starting to prick in their heart, that they think, man, what if they're not less than? What if they're not cursed? What if they're not throwaways? What if they actually had God-given worth and dignity and value? And man, it's one of my favorite parts to sit there and to be honest, sometimes I would just start crying, because you watch this battle. You watch this battle of, and especially in certain countries, of people that think, why would this be happening? No, they're not celebrating who we celebrate as the famous. They're celebrating others. And wait a second, what? And this is struggle. It's almost like that the angel and the demon on the shoulders, that they're trying to balance which one, right? And is it what they're seeing, or is it what they've been taught for so long? And sometimes I just can't help but cry of seeing, you know, that struggle that God's doing in so many hearts of choosing, you know, wow, just even though I've been told my whole life that person's cursed, that they're insignificant, but these people treat them as kings and queens. Wait, which one's the truth? And you can see that even what God, you can even feel kind of that battle of what God's doing in their heart. And you know what? I feel like, man, if there's an army of people that say, you know what, we're going to step up and we're going to stand up for every single person that's been thrown away, that has been told that they're less than, that they're insignificant. And when we stand up, when we lift them up, there's going to be so many other people that watch, that see it, that say, you know what? I might have missed the mark. You know, I've been told that they're throwaways, but you know what? I fell in love with them. I saw them going in tonight to shine, and I can't help but love them. I love that person. I can't walk by them anymore. I can't look at them. I can't look down upon them anymore. I can't think they're insignificant, because I love that person. And I believe God does too.
Man, it's amazing, Tim, because I was, you know, thinking that there are many countries in the world that are ostensibly Christian, right? But they still have a pagan worldview. I think of England before the time of William Wilberforce. So Wilberforce abolished the slave trade in 1807. He grew up in an England, middle of the 18th century, that was totally pagan, except in name. They considered themselves a Christian country, but they had slavery. They didn't care for the poor. It was exactly the same thing. And I think we have that in many places around the world today. People think they're Christians, but they don't have this Christian worldview. And what you're describing in a funny way is at the very heart of the Christian worldview, the idea that we have a God who loves every single human being from conception to natural death, no matter what. That's the antithesis of the Nazi That's worldview. Right. It's the antithesis of many worldviews that are out there. And, you know, you're doing evangelism and missionary work, which is not a surprise. You kind of come from a missionary background, but I got to tell you, it's so creative what you're doing. It really is. We've just got seconds left. I got to ask you the least important questions last. What do you need to work on this year to be able to play in Citi Field so I can come and watch you?
probably a lot of things, but I've been training like crazy. I actually just finished a training session and rushed over here, didn't even shower, put on this shirt just to be able to talk with you. So been working so hard, but you know, The success of the journey is not where it ends. It's the joy and the passion and the pursuit of every single day. And that's where my mindset has been. And that's where, you know, we'll continue to stay. And so, you know what, that would be awesome. And I would love it. But I also get the love enjoying every day of the challenge, the grind, and being able to live out what God has, you know, given me the chance to pursue.
You happen to have the right attitude, in case you're wondering. Tim Tebow, it's just a joy to see you. Congratulations on a year of marriage. Praise the Lord. Congratulations on the children's book. And I hope everybody will check out Night to Shine online. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
Hey, folks, welcome back. In hour two, I'm talking to John Zmirak. I think that's how you pronounce it. Zmirak, Z-M-I-R-A-K, right? Okay, we're talking to Zmirak. Later in the week, I'll be getting a haircut, but we probably won't air that because it's very boring. I have to talk about this. Alvin, because I'm locked out of Twitter, I can't promote my new book.
Oh, boy.
So I'm reduced to talking about it here. If you, now, since we're locked out of YouTube, you can't see this either. But Fish Out of Water is the new book. There's a picture of my dad on the cover. And it is so amazing. My mom took this picture when my mom and dad were dating in 1958. It's at the Statue of Liberty. It's so beautiful. I just can't believe that.
How'd that work out?
I'm sorry. When you read about it, they've been married 61 and a half years. And the first 58 years are the toughest, just in case, folks, in case marriage is tough, just understand, just hang in there for 58 years and then just like smoothest sailing, except for the weekends. But here's the thing. This book is a memoir of my life up until I had my Jesus freak born again golden fish dream in around my 25th birthday. And so Fish Out of Water obviously is kind of a double entendre. A double entendre, because it talks about my experience growing up as a kind of fish out of water wherever I went, not quite fitting in because of the hump and the club foot, which many people don't realize because I use a lot of makeup. But the thing is, I talk about not fitting in, and then at the end of the story about how God reveals to me, well, the meaning of life. I mean, it's insane, except it actually happened. It's all true. I wrote the book specifically for folks who are not on the same page as I am, maybe politically or particularly in terms of faith. Yeah. So it's a book. It's a secular book. It's a secular book. There's a lot of foul language. Actually, that's not true. I'm kidding. But it is a secular book, really. I mean, I wrote it for everybody. And it's the kind of book you can share with people that are not on the faith page. And I did write it for them. I do think that people who are coming from the same place as we are will. We've got amazing feedback. A lot of the stories are insanely funny. I mean, it's lunacy. Some of it's very serious, very serious. And some of it is really cuckoo. But it's just all kinds of stuff, a lot of family stuff. So I'm going to be posting when Twitter lets me back on, I'll be posting photos from the book and from my childhood and that kind of crazy stuff. And I wrote it because I think we all need to try to make sense of our own lives. And I actually firmly believe that telling the story of my life will help people make sense of their own lives and the big questions about what's the meaning of life. So that's why I wrote it. I should also say that, so it's officially launching February 2nd, Groundhog Day. And
good.
By the way, I predict that Joe Biden will see his shadow. I'm just, that's just a prediction. So, but anyway,
maybe,
fish
maybe
out of
he'll,
water.
He'll go away then for 4 or 5 years.
Yes, that's right. We'll have President Harris. Anyway, the book is officially launching February 2nd. You can get pre-order copies at SocratesInTheCity.com. Now they are, the book lists for $32.95. That's the hardcover. But for $25, you can get a signed book. I'm signing like 2,000 books tomorrow. That's not even a joke. And but for $25 at SocratesInTheCity.com. And we'll be letting you know where to go. We're posting a lot of excerpts and stuff. If you're not on our email list, yesterday I posted an excerpt to our email list, which you can sign up at ericmedexis.com. And I should say that townhall.com is they posted an excerpt today. If you go to townhall.com. Anyway, I think we're out of time. Don't forget mypillowmystore.com. Please support Mike Lindell in this program. Use the code ERIC. And we'll catch you in hour two with John Zamirak.